This month, I would like to spend a bit of time talking about repentance. And as the clip talks about it, it takes weakness to repent. You cannot repent from a position of, I want to do it in such a way that nobody ever figures out my weakness. You actually need that weakness so that you can repent. It's a paradox. And I say that because it's possible, as you've been a Christian for a long time, short time, that you rationalize how you live. And you rationalize the lack of the power of God in your life, and you rationalize why you sustain a certain lifestyle that is not very much about God, but it has a bit of God in him. Does that make sense? And over time, you create a lifestyle that is not really changing, but is set in your ways. So repentance produces fruit. In other words, you would be aware that you're changing. Does that make sense? You'll begin to see those changes in your character, in your attitude, in the way you treat people. So you cannot say, well, I am changing, but I don't know. It'll be clear. Does that make sense? It'll be something you experience. And part of that fruit will also come as part of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but also your character, your attitude. Some of these things take long, but once the journey begins of change, which is basically I'm beginning to turn around, you see it in your life. That can be in your relationships, at work, at home, parenting, attitude, mindset, all that begins to turn around. So let's talk about repentance. It's a good thing. Most people hear repentance, they get scared. No, it's a very good thing to repent. You turn around. You have a newness that comes upon you. Does that make sense? Number one, in what areas do you need to repent? Romans 1, 29 to 30 says this. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. Let's go right up there. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. Wickedness, in essence, is a lack of conscience. That you don't want to choose what is right and wrong based on God, you want to become your own personal God. Does that make sense? That's when wickedness kicks in. And in a world that is so big on explaining and rationalizing behavior, we can get all crazy about this stuff and run away from what God really says. So we no longer check with what God says. We check with, well, what does the Google person say? What are the evidences in the internet that tell us what we believe? And over time, we have a life that is full of lack of God. Even though we go to church, it's empty of God. Even though we worship God, it doesn't profess God. That can happen, a sin, greed. When we think of greed, we tend to think of what? Wealth. But it's a hoarding of excess, it's an excess of, hoarding excess of maybe wealth, power, and other things that can come into that. That principle can go into other places where you just have a problem of giving. The underlying principle with greed is selfishness. And let's talk about that. You may have some selfishness in your life that needs to go, that is creating problems with who you are. And you need to ask yourself, what area do I need to become selfless? Not selfish. How do I become selfless at home? Selfless in the family group? Selfless at work? Selfless at church? Selfless in everything I touch? Because it's funny, joy comes out of those that are selfless. And yet the world we live in tells us, hold back, protect your time, protect yourself, keep to yourself, not anyone in your business. That kills you. You've got to give of yourself. And we don't realize that we got some selfishness. Do you serve in your family group? Do you serve at church? Do you put your hands on anything? Do you look for that to happen? What about hate? You dislike certain people. You dislike them for whatever reasons. You just dislike them. And hate begins to brew in your heart. That's sin. The way we reason and rationalize that is, but they behave in a certain way. That's why I don't like them. That's their problem. You got to be pure in your heart. We just had that in the communion, right? That's their problem. They're the ones sinning. Don't let their sin bring hatred in you. Whether they're people of different politics, different color, different whatever, don't let that create hatred in your heart. Because it affects everything you touch. And it says there, hatred. What about envy? That's a huge one. That you want something that somebody else has. And envy is prevalent. Well, look around and you wonder, why am I envious? I want what they have. And pride comes in with that. In fact, it's very competitive, this world. I wonder why we compete, and God has a plan for everyone. Have you ever thought about that? God has a plan for everyone. Why do we compete? I mean, here's my argument. There's enough oxygen for everyone. Is that true? So why are you competing? Take your space and God will figure it out. Find out what God created you for and you figure that out for yourself. You don't need to be competing. I must get this. I must get that. What if that's not God's will? He has a different will for you. It's very important that we deal with envy in our lives. Envy about looks, envy about place people live, envy about cars people drive, envy about phones, envy about money, envy about position. It can go on and on. We got to change that. That's repentance right there. And as Christians, these sins are not obvious, but they may be festering in your hearts, in our hearts. They may be right there. But they're creating trouble in why we may speak about the word of God, but we don't move forward and change because there are other sins that are not seen that get in the way of the Spirit walking in our lives. Does that make sense? There's murder. That's obvious. You can see that. In the quarreling. What about that? Now, we like strife. We like to have a place of strife, just arguing for the sake of arguing. It's not a good place. It's very much related to envy. We like to create confusion, conflict in our homes, in our lives. Where does that come from? It's just sin, deception, lying, malicious behavior. That we have no good intention. We plan to harm. We plan to destroy. And you have to ask yourself, are you pure in your heart? I hope you don't get caught up in malicious behavior at work. Because that's where it really can come up. The politics of who's doing what, and you just get in the game. And before you know it, you become very malicious with people. And then he goes on and says, and gossip. This is a big one. Let's talk about this for a moment. We gossip. Have you heard? Did you know? And just go on like, I'm just passing on information. Who chose you to be the Kingdom News Network? Why do you carry information from one corner to another? It destroys trust within the kingdom of God. As we build one another relationships, one of the big, big cornerstone is trust. And when nothing falls off because of gossip, for some reason we spoke about this thing in downtown Atlanta, somehow it got itself in Gwinnett. How did that happen? Who transferred that information? What's going on? And we talk about it with glee and almost like, yeah, you're going to know about what's going on. It's not healthy. If we're going to help one another, we got to end the story where we have a conversation, it ends there. Does that make sense? And how you see other people, if it's based on what you hear, if you live on that, that's not a spiritual place to be. That's sin. It's separating us from God. It's not building. So we got to repent of that. It's very close to backstabbing as well. It's very close to that. Haters of God, insolent. People have become that. They don't like to hear anything about God. You want to be a person that is joyful to hear the word of God. The good, the easy, and the tough part of the word of God. And not just want to hear the good side of it. What about the tough part that addresses you, addresses me? We got to hear that part as well and be joyful and repent. Amen? So they're insolent, proud. We got to be careful here. Some people say everybody's proud, but that's not a license for me to be proud. I got to work on me. I cannot use any other person's behavior as a license for me to behave badly. I got to change me. And pride can come in the way of just what we're trying to build and not stop everything we're trying to do. And without knowing it, you become very proud about who, what, about God and about yourself, and you always want to do things according to you, not according to God, and creates problems. And boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. Let's talk about this. We've invented new ways of sinning. I mean, we now sin on our phones. Yeah, we sin on our phones, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. My congregation does not allow me to talk about certain words. We have young people around here, so I got to watch it. But you know what I'm talking about. The pictures you go after in the phone sometimes. The things we send to each other. We invented ways of putting stuff on Facebook that is offensive. Does that make sense? On the internet, we found new ways of just being sinful. We look for people that agree with us on Google, and we think that that's the way life is supposed to be. Check the Bible, and you'll realize that there are many ways that God wants you to turn around. Amen? So, and they disobey their parents. Let me talk to the children for a moment. It's important to understand that your parents are not perfect. Amen? They're not perfect. They're just trying to get to heaven. They're trying to do different things. Having said that, you need to come across with obedience and understand that and not expect them to be perfect for you to obey them. I'll tell you this. I don't want you to wait until they're gone. Then you start missing them. I hope you can appreciate them now. And realize they're not perfect, but they're trying. And talk about the things that they're not doing well and bring that about. That's all repentance. Amen? I told you I'm going to talk about repentance today, so let's go along with this one. Romans 1:31-32. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them. You can refuse to understand what God is saying to you. How do you refuse that? You counter every issue in your life with you use your past experience as a reason not to listen to God today. You know you can do that. Well, this is going on, but I can't do this because of my past. And unknowingly, you develop a culture of a victim. You become a victim. A victim of your past, a victim of what happened to you, and all along, that's what comes up. So you break the word. You refuse to understand. You break their promises. You start breaking their relationship with God. You're breaking that. And heartless. And have no mercy. You don't feel for other people. There's no empathy. And then it says, they know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. But you don't care. So yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them. Here's something I want to say to us as a church. When we call ourselves Christians and then are not practicing what the Bible says, we encourage the world to become worse. So we are the light. We need to touch the world. But you cannot do that if you're not working on yourself. You see, the idea that I can win a soul by just going to talk to them and telling them about God, the biggest testimony is when I change me. When I am changing me and I'm talking to people about God, they want to come along. Does that make sense? But when it's all about them and I'm doing nothing on me, they're like, hold on, what about you? I know you're talking about the right stuff, but you're not making any difference. Does that make sense? So you get in the way. We've got to walk on ourselves and repent, and God's name is glorified. So repentance is everybody's responsibility. Some of these things, if you take time and sit down and examine yourself, you'll be amazed at how you can change. But some of us don't want to take time and look, so we just go along and wait for someone to tell us. But we deceive ourselves and say, because nobody has said anything, I must be doing well. That's not true. Take time and evaluate. And you will see that there's a lot of stuff you can change. I mean, yesterday I sat down at the pool and I sat there and started evaluating my life, and I was just thanking God for different things. And I watched the people swim at the pool. It was amazing. you know, you had a four-year-old that was trying so hard to swim, but she was afraid. And she had someone there encouraging her. You had other kids swimming that were following instructions to the T. You had others that didn't care. They were just hitting water everywhere and having fun. And you had different people trying to encourage. And the mothers were there watching, trying to encourage their kids. And I thought to myself, church can be like that sometimes. Some of us are, you know, we're trying to grow, we're walking with it. Others just don't care. We're just trying to have fun. We don't want to do the serious stuff. You know, and it's good to have fun in church, amen? But we got to do everything as well. And some of us can be so afraid, like the four-year-old, that don't want to try anything. You don't want to try anything. You just want to stay. We've got to give of ourselves to grow. Does that make sense? And growth never stops. It is something you do until you go to heaven. Change starts when we are humble. Let's start here. James 4:10-11 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Not before me. Before the Lord. Not before your brother. Because if you do it before the Lord, you'll do it before the people you see. It's very easy. But if you can't do it with the one you don't see, it's harder to do it with the one you see. Does that make sense? So humble yourself before the Lord. In other words, let the word of God impact you, influence you, change you to a point of being a new person, changing the habits that are difficult in your character, the things that need to change. Let God begin to work on those things. It says, brothers, do not slander one another. He keeps going back to that. Let's not that happen. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting on the judgment seat. When it comes to helping each other, do we judge each other? How do you help the brother or sister that is looking for help? Do you judge or do you help them by showing them who God is? When you judge someone, you put them aside. They're no good. You put them down. They're no good. But when you help them, you inspire them, you encourage them, you show them God's way. And there are different levels of judgment in the Bible. A topic for another day. We can talk about what judgment can you take. But I'm talking about today, about specifically about, hey, if you're going to help someone, don't sit on the judgment seat. Help them come along. So I ask this, when is the last time you went to get help someone? Or when is the last time you went to get help? Because we have this one another relationships. Do they even take place? When is the last time you had a one another relationships? It's in the Bible. It says one another. Admonish one another. When is the last time you had it? See, if you isolate yourself and isolate yourself from the body of Christ, you're going to die. Now, you're going to keep coming here, but spiritually, you're not flourishing. Now, some of us like one another because they think, that's my time to tell them what I really think. The Bible says, don't do that. Don't sit on the judgment. But you need to be humble and run through these things and explain stuff how you're going through. And some of us are afraid of those relationships because they think, here we go again. No, it's what the Bible teaches. That's, you got to stick with one another on that one. So let's not slander one another. Talk about the live. Okay, did you know? No, it ends there. Does that make sense? It ends there and then we go forward. Otherwise, we're not helping each other. We got to start with humility. What are you good at? What are you bad at? What are you not good at? That's humility. You've got to know both ways. In today's world, what do we teach about self-esteem? We keep praising the children. You're good, you're good. That's not self-esteem. That's arrogance you're teaching. They need to know what they're good at and what they're not good at. That's humility. It's not always just praising the good stuff. What are you not good at? That's something we all need to be aware of. Some of us are afraid to find out what we're not good at. That we got to know. That's the blind side. So we can get help that direction. Does that make sense? I think went too fast there. Okay. Change happens when it's about God. That's always, it's hard to change when you think, what about me? It's hard to change, right? What about me? What do I gain from this? What about me? Let's face it. We're trying to change, build a diverse congregation. We can get caught up in cultures and think that's not mine, that's theirs, that's not this. And when you do that, you hold back and it all becomes about you. Let's face it, we're trying to build a body of Christ that reflects what the Bible is like. But if we hold back on how we think and what we do, we cannot build it because it becomes about us. What about me? But when it's about God, then we come to a place where when you read Romans and you see how the Jews and the Gentiles walk towards that, it's really a great challenge. But they walk at it anyway. And Romans 2:29 says, no true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. No, a true Jew is one who's right with whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is change of heart produced by God's Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. So, it's not just, okay, we're talking repentance, so I'm going to get busy changing myself. Oh no, you got to hear God's Spirit to do that work. Does that make sense? It's not just willing yourself, you got to get in the Word, pray, fast, connect, and hear God and begin to make that change. As you make that change, it's not just obedience. The Jews were so caught up in, I'm doing X, Y, Z. It's not what you're just doing, it's your heart. Right. And he talks about, rather it is the change of heart produced by God's Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God. And when you are right with God, you will seek to be right with God. Your praises come from God, not with people. And yet, we're so caught up with what people think about us. You know, a lot of our shame is about how people see us. It's cultural. It's not of God. That is why it's even hard to reach out, because we have shame sometimes from, how I will not look like a cool guy if I talk about God right now. That shame is not of God. It's cultural. So you're not queuing up with the Spirit and listening to the Spirit to get out of yourself. When you understand that, you have incredible conviction and confidence. You are happy to talk about God. You look for praise from God, not from people. I have a question for you. Why do you do what you do? Why? Why do you do what you do? Are you trying to please people? Are you trying to please man? Or is it about God? Now you have to understand the heights build. You start with God first, and you're right with man. If you start with man, you lose God. But you start with God, you'll connect with man. Because God gives you the wisdom, the discernment to do all that stuff, and you'll figure out what you need to do. I say to you today that we need to examine that again and say, okay, how am I doing with God? That's where it all starts. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then all this will come together. Change happens when it's about God. It's difficult to change when it's about people. Because people change. Yeah, if you work in the sales department, if you met your goals this month, you can be sure next month the number will change. It's going to change, right? And then you meet next month, the number will change. God doesn't do that. He doesn't keep changing those numbers. He stays in the same place. So if you go with men, you can't please them enough. You go with God, you're going to be in a good place. Amen. Gratitude produces reverence and awe. Let me just ask a question here. How grateful are you? How grateful are you? How grateful are you about your house? How grateful are you about your old car? Your 20-year-old car, your 10-year-old car, your 15-year-old car. How grateful are you about that car? How grateful are you when you pull to the red light with your 20-year-old car, and the guy pulls up with a Camaro and the tunes are coming out, toom, 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 and you're like, whoa, what's wrong with my car? And then he moves away, and you're like, yours is taking a while to get on, so you know. How grateful are you? How grateful are you with your job? It might not pay you what you want. I know that. Nobody's paid what they really want. Because if they did, you never come back. They figured that out quickly. So put them so they keep coming. But how grateful are you? Gratefulness is at the beginning of an overflowing spirit of wanting to worship God. If that lacks, discontentment gets us angry, upset, and we have a resentful approach to life. And we're not happy people. We're very angry in nature, in character. And so we don't touch anything with joy, and we don't move a lot because we are ungrateful. We're angry. So I want to ask you again today is how thankful are you? Your spouse, your children, how grateful are you about that? And how much, when you pray, how much do you thank God for what you have compared to what you ask for? That's what produces repentance. Therefore, since we are receiving the kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. You want to worship God in an acceptable way, start with being grateful. Many people are going to go through life unhappy. Why? Because they are never content. They are caught in the cycle of a mirage. You know how a mirage is, right? You get there, it moves. You get there, it moves. You get there, it moves. As a young kid, I never understood that. I'd be going somewhere with my dad. I'm like, what's there? We get over there, it's moved. Never figured it out until I got to school and I figured, oh, that's what was going on, a mirage. A mirage of cars, a mirage of life, a mirage of money, a mirage of anything. It's all in the play. You've got to learn to live here and now and be grateful. That will give you impetus to be different, to let God transform you. I'm out of time, but let me say one or two things. Romans 12, verse 3, message version. I rarely speak with this woman. Let's see. I am speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as everyone of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you do not misinterpret yourself as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. The way to understand this, to repent, start by what God does for you. Amen. You don't do much for God. You're actually just supposed to live out of gratitude, grace, and thank you, Lord. When you think you're doing stuff for God, it's burdensome. And it just wears you down. But when you realize God is doing a lot for you, the fuel you get from the Spirit, from that, it's amazing. And a lot of us are feeling a lot of, this is heavy, this is what? It's because you've changed how the fuel runs in your system. Come back and let God be the one that does things for you. Not you trying to do things. And God will transform your life. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we are safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. This morning, I would like to stir you out of your comfort or safety and send you to the hands of God, where you can begin to identify with God and transform the things that you need to. Once in a while, we talk as a family about the sins that get in the way. Let us commit to God to get connected with God first, with one another, and get involved in God's work. And God's name be glorified. Amen? God bless you.